This study tells us that foods grown organically are better than foods grown with pesticides and synthetic fertilizers. But that study tells us that there is no difference, nutritionally at least, between organic foods and conventional foods. These studies cause us to pause and ask, is organic food worth the extra effort?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 599th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in San Blas who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James on the boards.
Hi.
Producer Carol Stafford.
Hello.
Parmley Taft.
Hello.
Hey, got a studio audience. Dan Lawmeyer's here.
Hello, Michael.
And we also have from Dove Creek, Colorado, organic bean farmer Rolf Swinginger.
Howdy, howdy.
Got to move up on the mic, Rolf.
Howdy.
Okay, there you go. Folks, the Whole Foods supermarket chain had a great business model. Sell high-quality organic foods for a high price and make a huge profit. And so Whole Foods became a shining star of Wall Street. But then the easy money disappeared and 65% of Whole Foods' market value disappeared as its customers began shopping for less expensive food elsewhere. Organic foods are those produced without the use of conventional pesticides, artificial fertilizers, human waste, sewage sludge, ionizing radiation, or food additives. Conventional foods are those grown with synthetic fertilizers and pesticides, and which may be genetically altered for one reason or another. Clearly, it takes an extra effort to grow and process organic foods. Some studies say the extra effort required to grow organic results in foods that are superior to foods grown conventionally. Other studies, however, say there is no essential difference between organic foods and conventional foods. Though one suspects that studies of their validity of organic foods often reflect what their sponsors wish to see, they do lead us to ask, as the customers of Whole Foods are asking, is organic foods worth the effort? Here to help us look for an answer today, we have Jeff Gilman, who is an associate professor of horticulture, University of Minnesota, and author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. Welcome to the Food Chain, Jeff.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Hey, tell us the difference between horticulture and agriculture.
Sure. The difference is entirely based upon convention, actually. Agriculture tends to include your row crops, your annual crops, whereas horticulture tends to include your perennial crops, mostly, although there are certainly some annual crops, such as annuals. And by annuals, I mean things like pansies or whatever.
Like pansies, did you say?
Yeah, that was just one that came to the top of my head. L.H. Bailey, you know, this is actually a huge, long discussion, the difference between agriculture and horticulture. L.H. Bailey, the father of modern American horticulture, identified horticulture as the study of fruits, vegetables, and plants for ornament and fancy.
Mm-hmm. And agriculture is kind of out there in the fields and in the countryside, and horticulture is closer to town. How's that?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, good. Well, who pays your way? We always ask the question, Jeff, who pays your way at the university there? Are you taking grants from Monsanto or anything?
No, I'm not.
So you're on your own then, kind of just as a university, and you're an author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. What is The Truth About Organic Gardening?
Well, The Truth About Organic Gardening is that organic is mostly good. Most organic practices are good for the environment and for people, but there are certainly a few organic practices out there that aren't so fantastic, even though they're labeled organic.
So there you go. Well, I have in my hand here, right in front of me at least, all kinds of studies about organics, and some say organics are good and some say organics are bad.
Sure.
I have become as wary as a coyote sniffing for poison bait when it comes to approaching these studies. How do you approach these scientific studies as a professional academic? When you know somebody hands you a study that says, you know, we've looked at this and we have found conclusively that this is that. Mm-hmm. How do you approach that stuff?
Well, the first thing that I do, of course, is to look at the materials and methods that the person has used and see whether I think that the materials and methods make sense for the study. Probably most of the studies that you're looking at, and I'm not sure about this, maybe you can fill me in, are called meta-studies. And a meta-study takes other studies and compares them with each other. Meta-studies, I find to be...
Isn't that what we do as people, when it gets right down to it, you know? We
sure.
take all of these studies and kind of shift them back and forth and look at them and...
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. But the problem with meta-studies is that they're actually particularly easy to manipulate to a person's end goal, mm-hmm. if a person has an end goal. And that, by the way, is something else that I do look at.
That's what the first thing I always look at is who's sponsoring the study.
Sure. And you absolutely should look at that. That's not the first thing that I look at, though, because it is possible for people to do perfectly good work.
It's possible that somebody's actually honest when they commission a study. Okay, I'll grant you that.
Okay. So that's not the first thing I look at. But particularly in meta-studies, I make sure that I look at who is comparing all of these different papers, because it's remarkably easy when you're conducting a meta-study to just discard studies that you just don't think fit the model that you want to fit.
Mm-hmm. What was it Mark Twain said about statistics? There are three kinds of lies, damn lies, and statistics. I guess that's kind of what he was talking about.
And
right?
I very much agree with that.
So how do you know if something's actually valid? What do you look for to find a valid study?
To find a valid study? Well, basically, you look for, you know, it very much depends on the study. But if you're doing organic versus conventional, what you most want to find is a study of fruits, veggies, or what have you done on exactly the same site using techniques that you consider to be, you know, representative of organic versus representative of conventional. And particularly you want to be on the same cultivar of fruit, and there are actually a few other things that you can look at. But
if you're comparing conventional apples with organic apples, and you had a conventional apple from Wisconsin and an organic apple from China.
Terrible one that I...
Bad.
Right, I would take that right off the charts right away.
Okay, good. So then what we're looking for is a conventional apple from Pullman, Washington, and an organic apple from Pullman, Washington, grown in the same general area, the same...
Actually, I don't even want them in the same general area. I want them actually from the same field.
Ah.
And not only do I want them from the same field, but I want them to be from the same cultivar.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but I want the same number of conventionals to be in the center of the plot versus at the edge of the plot. Mm-hmm. All of these things can have pronounced effects.
Well, Jeff, I've just thrown out about 99% of the studies I've seen.
Yeah, you have. It's extremely difficult, despite what some people would have you believe. There are very few studies out there that are truly representative, or that are truly, I should say, objective studies.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few, but not a whole lot.
So, when those of us who are just consumers of foods and we're scratching our head looking at this situation with respect to very expensive organic foods, and we're wondering whether it's worth the extra money for us to buy these foods that have taken an extra effort to grow.
Right.
Where do we start looking?
Well, let me tell you where I start. And you know, maybe my lifestyle will help you know. personally, I love fruits and vegetables from the farmer's market.
Uh-oh.
And I love those fruits and vegetables because they're fresh off the vine. They taste great. They're from local producers. Mm-hmm. And I can ask those guys, you know, what they've put onto the fruits and veggies. And if I don't like it, I don't have to buy it. When I go to the grocery store, I don't make a distinction between conventional and organic. And the reason is, when I go to the grocery store, I don't know what's been applied. And when, you know, pesticides is a particular concern. And when you deal with industrial organic,
don't go any farther than that right there. We'll pick that up after the break. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here, and today we're talking about organic foods. Is organic foods, or the whole organic industry, is organic worth the extra effort to grow and to buy? Curious to hear what you have to think. We've got Jeff Gilman, who is the Associate Professor of Horticulture, University of Minnesota, with us today, author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, this study tells us that organic foods are better, but that study tells us that, hey, there really is no difference. And so we look at all of these studies and we pause to ask, is organic food worth the extra effort? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have with us Jeff Gilman, who is the Associate Professor of Horticulture, University of Minnesota, author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. Jeff, one quick note before we go on. Why do so many studies point in so many different directions?
Because growing fruits and veggies, you have a lot of different variables which affect the growth of the food, tremendous number. Fertilization, watering, the pesticides that you use, the insect pressures, the variety, the species, the rootstocks that are used, and I'm just scratching the surface.
So, and that takes us back to your initial presentation that when we look at a study, it's so important to look at, to make certain that we're comparing apples and apples, that we're comparing two different things that were growing in the same way in the same location.
And exactly the same food, yep, and the randomization is also extremely important.
Otherwise, we come up with conclusions that point in every 360 degrees.
Which is exactly what we see in the papers. And when you go to the store, even if you find a valid paper which shows that one particular way of growing something is better than another, when you go to the store, how do you know that the fruit that you're picking off the shelf was grown in exactly that way?
Well, you're a professor at University of Minnesota, and I've been in Minnesota, and I've been in Minnesota in the winter.
Oh,
and
man.
I know that you're not getting any fresh organic veggies from Minnesota in the winter. So you go to the supermarket, and here's a whole row of organic rutabagas.
Right. And I don't like rutabagas.
Well, whatever they are, organic whatever. And
sure.
The first thing is, do you know where they came from? Some say that that's significant, even though it says organic. I'm of the opinion that I'd like to know at least which country they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard rumors to the effect that the largest organic farmer in the world is the Chinese Red Army. I have no way of knowing if that's true or not, but that impacts on how I see what's in the inside the food. How do you know when you go to a grocery store what that organic food is? There are some guidelines that have to be met, aren't there?
Well, sure, there are some guidelines that have to be met. Of course, the guidelines can be stretched, but then guidelines can be stretched in just about anything that you name. So
that's what guidelines are for, right?
Right. So I don't think it's fair to judge by the guidelines. But even looking at the guidelines for organic, the guidelines for organic allow the use of a number of pesticides which are, I consider them, rather dangerous. And I do teach a course on pesticides, and that is something that I actually specialize in. And as I said, when I have my choice, I love fresh local produce. I mean, that just tastes the best, and that's the reason that I select it. And also because I can ask the grower exactly what he used on the crop. But you know something? When you go to the grocery store and you've got conventional versus organic, there's a myth that pesticides have not been used on the organic food. And that is simply not the case in most situations, because in industrial organic, they have the right to use natural pesticides. And these natural pesticides can be just as toxic and sometimes more so as the conventional pesticides that we use. Mm-hmm. And I can run down a list of them.
Before you do, we have here in the studio audience Rolf, who is a organic bean farmer from Dove Creek, Colorado. I said, Rolf, do you use an organic pesticide or to control the pests on your bean crop?
None whatsoever.
Just a sec here. Hold on. For some reason. Okay, go ahead.
This is Rolf Schwenninger. None whatsoever, because we're biodynamic.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's great.
Okay, good.
We bring nothing in. We do everything on a biodynamic basis.
All right, well, but that's not organic. It's biodynamic.
Biodynamic is a step beyond organic.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Big step.
Yeah,
big step.
Exactly. And if you're growing things without any pesticides at all, I have absolutely no complaints. Of course, when I go into the grocery store, I have a pretty tough time distinguishing between the biodynamic beans and the beans that have been sprayed with organic pesticides.
Unless,
in fact, I have no way to do that.
Yeah, unless you know who the grower is, and you kind of get back to that farmer's market model that you were talking about.
Exactly.
You know, organic has been kind of like, it's become a holy word. And since it became an official word, part of the agriculture orthodoxy, as it were, it has spawned a huge industry of which the whole foods chain is simply the tip of the iceberg. So what is, in your way of thinking, what is the essential difference between organic and conventional? Is it just pesticides and fertilizers?
Right now, it is just pesticides and fertilizers. And the thing is, once again, that if we're just going organic has turned into a marketing system.
Mm-hmm.
And the marketing has almost become more important than the practice in some cases, where you have people who go organic because they can make more money that way, and yet they're using essentially the same systems they used in conventional, except that they're slightly changing their inputs to be quote-unquote organic inputs instead of conventional inputs.
So just describe the difference. You know, you talked about organic pesticides.
Sure.
What is the difference between an organic pesticide and a conventional pesticide?
An organic pesticide is one that comes from either an inorganic mine, such as sulfur or copper sulfate. We can mine those and use those. Or a biological source. For example, the botanical pesticide rotenone, which kills insects. Rotenone is more toxic than most of our conventional pesticides, but you're allowed to use it in organic because it's botanical, because it's natural. For fertilizers, most synthetic fertilizers come from, we call it synthetic nitrogen. We can get into that later if you want to. Whereas most organic fertilizers come from manure, often the best ones, but they may also come from non-renewable resources such as green sand or rock phosphate.
Is there a difference in the toxicity between rotenone and regular pesticides?
Rotenone tends to be more toxic. It has been linked to Parkinson's. Is actually starting to come off the shelves, which I'm really happy to see. Although I'm picking on rotenone in particular, there are actually other pesticides that organics use which are somewhat safer. BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, is a pesticide used by organic growers which is definitely safer than most of our synthetics. But then you come back to copper sulfate, which is just as toxic as most of our synthetics and also tends to build up in the environment and can actually stop certain crops from growing that have a sensitivity to copper buildup. So when you are an organic grower, I think it's extremely important to understand that you're not just an organic grower to make money. You're an organic grower because you want to help the environment. And to take those things seriously and to not use things like rotenone and copper sulfate.
But if you're a consumer...
If you're a consumer,
Do you know which is which?
You don't.
And there's the rub.
When you go into the grocery store, and I'm not talking about the farmer's market where you can talk to the farmer, when you go into that grocery store, you do not know if the organic food that you're buying came from a good, responsible organic grower or from an organic grower who really didn't give a rip and who just substituted organic pesticides for synthetic pesticides.
And this calls to mind Michael Olson's third law of the food chain. The farther away you get from the source of your food, the less control you have over what's in that food.
I read that on your website, and I really liked it. I think I mean, I really did.
Okay, hold on, Jeff. Folks, sure. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking organic today with Jeff Gilman, who's Associate Professor of Horticulture, University of Minnesota, and author of Truth About Organic. Are you willing to go the extra mile for organic food? What do you think? Give us a ring right back. Well, folks, are you willing to go the extra mile and pay the extra dollar for organic food? A lot of studies out there saying that organic food is better for us. But then again, there's a lot of studies that say organic food is no better, nutritionally at least, than foods grown conventionally. And so we go to the market and look at the price and we scratch our head and say, meh. And as long as there was a lot of money flowing around freely, we were paying a lot extra for organic foods, and now that money is getting harder, we're feeling the pinch, especially in the big stores like Whole Foods, Whole Foods has lost 65% of its market share since last October, and the reason, of course, is because it's getting harder and harder to pay the extra money. Are you willing to pay the extra money for organic foods? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Jeff Gilman with us today, who is a associate professor of horticulture at the University of Minnesota, also the author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. And also with us today, we have Rolf Swearinger, who is a organic bean farmer from up there in Dove Creek, Colorado. Jeff, we were talking offline here with Rolf here, and he's also growing some spinach, and he had an interesting tale to tell. I think that kind of dovetails, if you'll pardon the parallel there, with what you've been saying. Rolf, you grow spinach. It's, what, close to 7,000 feet up there in the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah.
Got to move up to the microphone there and put your headset on. Okay, there you go. These farmers, you have to tell them to put their headset on here. Rolf, you grow spinach at almost 7,000 feet, which is kind of unusual. How do you get away with that?
Well, spinach, for anyone who is into spinach growing, is a crop that will withstand frost for 10 days consecutively. And it just does very well in this versatile climate that we have, cool nights and hot days.
So you have a crop of spinach growing up there at about 7,000 feet, Colorado Rockies. You take it to the markets in nearby towns, and the grocers are doing something interesting with it in that, what are they doing?
Well, but they are so impressed with the taste of our spinach that they identify our spinach as to the source. In other words, they put the name and the word's gotten around, and people will just come and say, we want spinach from Hopi Organic Farms.
So that kind of makes it food with its farmer's face on it then, because when that grocer buys spinach from you and they put your label on it, that really kind of identifies exactly who the farmer is.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about, Jeff? Is that closeness, that proximity?
Very much so. If you can accomplish that, then you've really done something. Around here, we don't see that a whole lot, and certainly when we get into the winter, we don't see that at all.
Mm-hmm. So what do you eat in the winter?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing? Like the Montana boys in the audience here. Have to go hungry all winter because there's no food in the winter.
Right.
You know, we were talking about this, the girls and I were talking about this before the show, and we were talking, well, you know, people in the north in Alaska, you know, they can't grow organic foods all year long, which of course is true. But I have in my possession a photograph of my grandmother in her root cellar. And in back of her are hundreds of jars, mason jars filled with preserved food. And, of course, we don't do that anymore. Nobody cans food, it seems like. And so we have to rely, again, on foods grown in distant climes. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. And so when we go to the grocery store, we look at that foods grown elsewhere, and we see the label organic. And what you're saying is that label may or may not provide us with protection against the things that we really don't want to eat.
Exactly, and it may or may not provide us with extra nutrition. You know, you mentioned that there have been studies that show that the organic foods have higher nutrition, and, you know, one of the first things I did is dismiss that. And I don't want to be completely dismissive of that, because it's possible that organics may offer some additional nutritional values, but as of yet, that really hasn't been proven by most what I consider objective studies.
What about taste tests? Rolf was talking about how, you know, when people taste his spinach, you know, that spinach grown at 7,000 feet up there, and they all rave about it, and the word spreads around that you want to buy, you know, spinach from Hopi Organics, and because it tastes better. Is there a way of objectively measuring taste?
There have been a couple of studies where they've taken organic foods off the shelf and compared them with conventional foods off the shelf. In those studies, you rarely see any kind of a difference. But that said,
well, how do they measure that?
How they measure it? What they'll do is they'll make it a blind taste test, and then the researchers will go in and they'll select the foods, and then they'll offer them to the people who are doing the taste testing, and then those people will taste the foods and say, "Ah, this one is better."
Kind of like a wine tasting, then.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway, in those you rarely see any kind of a difference. But having said that, you know, we go back to the whole farmers market thing, where if you can move fresh produce in, well, I don't know anybody who doesn't just like fresher produce. I mean, it just is better. At least in my...
Fresh is always better.
Fresh is always better. In my humble opinion, it just tastes a lot better. Mm-hmm. But when you're just going in and picking blindly from a shelf, you rarely see any taste differences.
Okay. So, in the end, of course, it's always best to go down to the farmer's market or go to the market and find the Hopi fresh spinach, you know, grown at 7,000 feet up in there in Colorado Rockies. But, of course, most of the time we can't get away with that. So most of the time we run into the supermarket,
right?
And we stand there and we look at the things in front of us. And one says organic and the other doesn't have anything on it. Can we be certain that the organic food is safer than the conventional food? I mean, is that a guarantee?
Absolutely not. The problem is there are a lot of producers of organics out there who are doing this, you know, simply for the money. And when they're doing it simply for the money, they're applying pretty much whatever pesticides, albeit organic, that they want to their crops.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, is this on all crops or some crops?
Well, you know, that's a really great question. Do you get Consumer Reports?
No.
Okay. Well, if you look at Consumer Reports that came out this month, they were looking at the crops that typically have the most pesticides sprayed on them. And they said, in these crops, you should buy organically. And, of course, apples up there. Apple is always up there. Well, I've worked with apples. And let me tell you, when you produce an apple conventionally, you need to apply a lot of pesticides to control fire blight, coddling moth, apple maggot. It's very difficult to grow apple without a lot of pesticides. When you switch to organic production, you switch over to a lot of different insecticides, but you still have to control this problem. And to control this problem, you end up using very different pesticides, but you're still using pesticides. So I think the
Okay, we're going to hold that, and we'll be right back. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson with Jeff Gilman. Hey, and Rolf Swanger, too. And you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us. Hey, welcome back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about organic. Is organic safe and therefore worth the extra money it costs to grow it and buy it? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We've got Jeff Gilman here. So, Jeff, we're talking a little bit about is organic safe and is it?
Well, is organic necessarily safe? You know, it really depends upon the way the producer is producing the food. And there are a wide variety of ways to produce things organically.
Rolf was just talking about that, right, Rolf?
Yes.
So what were you saying, levels of organic?
Yeah, we need to have a scale from basic organic to the highest level organic, which is just generally known to be biodynamic. And I think the government and the agencies need to have the courage to begin scaling this and giving people the qualities of organic.
Do you think that would work, Jeff?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not sure if it would work or not. It's not something I've really spent much time considering. But I would love it if there would be two levels, one level being perhaps what we have now, USDA organic, and perhaps a second level being pesticide-free. And when we say pesticide-free, I mean no pesticides used at all, organic or synthetic.
Which is what Rolf is talking about, right, Rolf?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So,
And I would certainly like to see something like that. For fertilizers, too, you could do something like that.
Rolf said he does not use fertilizers in the conventional sense.
Right.
How do you fertilize your soil, Rolf?
We only do it by rotation and by green manuring when we have enough moisture.
Okay.
That's a fantastic method, and it works very well in general.
But not on an industrial scale, correct?
On an industrial scale, it's extremely difficult to use practices like that. Yeah, absolutely. One of the big problems with organic is simply getting enough nitrogen into the ground for large-scale production. You know, obviously you can't use synthetic fertilizers. You can use manure, but it takes a lot of manure to get enough nitrogen into the ground. And if say, the whole United States decided to go organic overnight, we simply wouldn't have enough manure to create all the food that we need.
We'd need to hire more Amish farmers.
There you go.
We'd have to increase the number of Amish dairy farmers by hundreds of percents. Right. Okay, so we don't really know. We're coming up with this notion that there are organic is and there are organic. And when we go to the store and we look at the labels, it just says organic.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we know, for example, that the spinach came from the Hopi farm in the high mountains of Colorado, heck, we don't know where it came from. It's just it could have come from, who knows, China, right?
I mean, absolutely, it could have. More likely South America.
Mm-hmm.
But sure, it could have come from a variety of places. You know, with meat, we have exactly the same issue. You know, when we look at the different meats that we have really no idea where they came from. And the labeling, I mean, the marketers out there are really who drive me crazy, because the marketers out there have found all kinds of ways to make meat, different meats, seem as if they're humanely raised, for example. And the truth is we really have no idea if the meat was truly humanely raised.
And there's just really no way of knowing. So a caller wants to know about which pesticides wash off best. That's an interesting notion, that you can wash pesticides off. Can you?
Yeah, actually you can. Both synthetic and organic can be washed off relatively easily. There was actually a study done on this about 10 years ago. And now, once upon a time, it was true that some of your synthetics didn't wash off that easily, but that's really no longer true. And with a good wash in warm water, both organics and synthetics wash off pretty easily. But it has to be warm water.
Warm water.
How warm?
Yeah. And,
how warm? Not boiling, I hope.
Yeah. Scalding until your hands turn red. No. It needs to be just a little bit warmer than lukewarm. And you should be able to take most of the pesticides, either synthetic or organic, off of most of your fruits and veggies.
Okay, let's go to Esther, who's calling in with a great question. Folks, the phone number is today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Esther, go ahead.
Yes, when I'm at the farmer's market, what would be the most important questions, the key questions I could ask the farmer to find out whether they're, the safest and most wholesome foods?
Great question, Jeff.
Sure. I think that's a great question, too. And the question that I ask is, what pesticides do you use? Now, I realize that you probably haven't dealt with pesticides as much as I do, but what you want to hear from that farmer, be they conventional or organic, I don't care, is that we use as few pesticides as we possibly can, and we spray maybe once or twice a year. Because if you've got a really good grower, they only need to spray once or twice a year, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can... just to plug my book a minute, if you actually want to know about the different pesticides, both organic and synthetic, and what they actually, their properties, if you have that book along with you, you can actually look up the different pesticides and figure out whether you're scared of them or not.
Hey, Esther, I have an answer for your question, too.
Okay.
I just like to look into the farmer's eyes and say, are you taking good care of me? And if that farmer can look me back in the eye and without hiding, then I know that I'm getting well taken care of.
Okay.
Hey, folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking organic. And the phone number is today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Esther, you want to hang for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, we will be right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Welcome aboard. This is The Food Chain. Got a few minutes left and miles and miles and miles to go with Jeff Gilman and Esther on the line, too. Let me bring them both up here. And we have Rolf Swearingen from Hopi Farm and up there in the Colorado Rockies. It's in a valley, of course. It's not on the side of a mountain, right, Rolf?
Yep.
Okay.
High valley.
Esther, you're talking about what to look for when you ask a farmer at the farmer's market. What do you do when you go into a grocery store, Esther, and it says organic there? Do you believe that? Do you feel safe there?
Well, I feel like my best shot at getting wholesome food is to go with the organic product.
Mm-hmm.
And that
pay the extra price?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, good. Jeff, Rolf has this really interesting point, which I have come to believe is probably the most significant thing about farming and growing food. And Rolf, that is what?
The quality of the soil. The soil that on our farm has never, ever had any chemicals on it, was not farmed until the first time in 1953. At just about 7,000 feet, and the proof is that since we don't use any fertilizers other than rotation and green manuring, our spinach gets to be 3 to 4 times the size of spinach plants that are generally on the market.
Jeff, what do you think the significance of good soil is to good organic food or to whole, good wholesome food?
I agree entirely with Rolf. Good soil is the cornerstone of organic production. Absolutely, there's no question about it. I mean, that's what Howard said back in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Sir Alfred Howard, right?
Exactly.
Who's he?
Well, he's the father of organics.
Okay, good.
Really?
All right.
Actually, he himself probably wouldn't have been able to bring organics to the level it's been today without the help of Jerry Cohen, who is actually better known as J.I. Rodale.
And Rudolf Steiner.
Steiner, the father of biodynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think Steiner was the marketer that Rodale was.
No, it's right.
But absolutely, it's the heart of organics is the soil, conserving the soil, working with the soil instead of against it. So I agree with that 100%.
Okay, let's go around the table here. Esther.
Yes.
Is organic worth the extra effort?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
You're entirely there, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
I of course realize that that's not a guarantee, especially after, you know, the problem with spinach, earthbound. I would never have guessed that that was a questionable source.
Okay.
And obviously.
So you're there.
That's not a
guarantee. Worth it to you.
Yeah.
Jeff Gilman, author of The Truth About Organic Gardening, is organic worth it to you?
Farmer's market, yes. In the grocery store, no.
Okay. Dan Lahmeyer, studio audience. Worth it to you?
Absolutely, especially because if it's organic, they're not allowed to have GMO.
All right, Rolf?
It's only worth it if the source is identified and the practices of the farm are known and reliable.
Brother Dennis, up against the microphone there.
It looks to me like small producers, yes, and large corporations, grocery stores, no.
Nephew Austin.
Yeah, I think you got to pay attention to where it's coming from.
All right, folks, there it is. Thanks for tuning in The Food Chain. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.